Lord. Put you in Philadelphia and just be himself. Because God can take anyone and anything and change them. That the song said he will turn your life around and work things out in your favor. You know, we're talking about Elevate Youth Service today, and the topic is going hard for God. And when Pastor Tim told me the topic, going hard for God, a song came to my heart immediately. And it is by gospel rapper Lecrae, and it's called Go Hard. I don't know if you heard it, but the song says go hard. Now, I wasn't too sure that y'all was ready for that. I know they are, but I wasn't too sure y'all was ready for it, so I'm not going to play it as my theme. But the word says, it says, go hard, go home. Go hard, go home. Lord Jesus, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Go hard, go home. Go hard, go home. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. And there's something about this word about going hard or going home and asking the Lord to use me. There's something about that that gets me excited when I know that God can use me if I go hard for him.
Yeah.
But the other side of that, if you don't go hard for God, you got to go home. You can't use nobody that's not going to be moved by the Spirit of God. You can't use nobody that's not going to apply his word to their life. You can't use anyone that's not going to stand up in a crowd and be known for their Christian walk. I'm talking to young people over here real quick. You can't use you if you're not going to live out that Christian title that you claim. You got to go hard all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a few things about what Paul says in here in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. I'm going to read the scripture and then we'll get right on to what God has for us to hear today. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, if not, it's on the back of your programs. Thank you, Sister Cheryl.
Right.
And it's the Living Bible. So, listen to God's word. In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that will keep you from doing your best. I like that. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that will keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears.
Yeah.
So run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. And I fight to win. Run, yeah, let me say this again to you, young people. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should and not what it wants to. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. It'll be a blessing to hear readers and doers of God's word. You may be seated.
Amen.
Like I said, there's something about those words, go hard or go home. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. There's something about those words that when I remember when I was in the street, when I had my BC days, up before Christ days, I went hard when I went out in those streets. It makes me remember that when I was in my BC days, my before Christ days, I went hard when I was partying. Okay, kids, y'all looking at me like, okay, he's not saying nothing really. No, I went hard when I was out there on the streets. It makes me think about when I went hard for those things that were not of God. I gave my all. I did it to the fullest. When I was out there hustling, I went hard to hustle and make that money. Make the money, money, dollar bill, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I went hard to do those things. But the scripture here, Paul tells us that we got to go hard for the Lord.
Amen.
Just as hard as I did things when I was a sinner. I had to do those same things hard for the Lord. You're like, man, hold up, wait a minute. Aren't we a new creature? Aren't old things passed away? All things become new. But guess what? God will use those same gifts because guess what? I still love to dance and I dance hard for the Lord now. I still love to rap. I got my little script around here and I rap hard for the Lord in my own time. Y'all never hear my stuff. It's not going to be see you on that thing. But the thing is that God will take whatever it is you have a passion in.
Yeah, yeah.
Miss Jordan, God take whatever you have a passion in and allow you to go hard. He'll elevate you in whatever it is that you're
right.
And he'll take you to the next level.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you some things. Paul here in verse 24 and 25, he tells us that we must deny ourselves of some things that would keep us from doing our best when going hard for God. Verse 24 and 25 says, in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon, a silver cup, but we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. There are 54 scriptures in the Bible that tells us to deny ourselves. There's 54 scriptures that I found, and I'm just going to give you a few of those scriptures. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23 says the same thing, and he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus here was telling us that we have to deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow him. This wasn't just Paul talking. These were Jesus' exact words. Deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow me. But 1 Peter 2:11 says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against your soul. See, Peter here was telling us that he urges us as aliens, as strangers. This is not our home. This is not our destination. Peter is urging us that we resist from those fleshly lusts. I'm going to get to some of those later on. Let me see. I'm looking, trying to see if I keep it PG-13. Yeah, I see where I'm going to go with this here. But Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Another version says, this is the minimal form of worship you can do, by offering your body a living and holy sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's the minimal form of worship you can do. Father, right now we come to you, Lord, just lifting up your holy name, Father. Realizing that you are a healer, Lord. Realizing that you have all power and authority. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for this brother, Lord. We lift him up to you, Father, as a family, Father. We call on the name of Jesus, Father. We know you as Jehovah Rapha, Father. We know you as a healer. We call on your name and your power right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Whatever it is, heal, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the mighty power and name of Jesus, we ask that you heal, Father.
Right now, God, have your way, God.
Glory, Jesus. Jesus, help us focus on your will and your word right now, Father.
Glory.
Have your way. Just as an athlete, before they can win a prize, they must train. In this training, they must deny themselves some things that would not be good for their body to perform at their fullest. They need to deny themselves some food. You know, before a race, you can't eat those collard greens, that cornbread, and that fried chicken, and some of my wife's macaroni and cheese. If y'all ain't never had this, ask her to make you some, because that'll go ahead and you'll eat it, and you'll just go to sleep afterwards. So you're not running no race to win. But an athlete denies themselves. So the first thing we hear that Paul is telling us is that we have to deny ourselves of anything that would stop us from going hard for God. You have to deny yourself those things that would stop you from going hard for God. When training for football, I used to deny myself some food because I wanted to make weight. I was a fat body. I was a fat boy. And when we played Pee Wee football, you had to be a certain weight. Otherwise, you couldn't play that day. So I had to be careful. But I also studied the plays and trained with those plays. And I also studied what I was supposed to do when I exercised. So I was in some training. As a Christian, we must train ourselves to feed our spiritual bodies and some spiritual food. We must get the right amount of God's word daily and go hard for God. We are going hard for God, but we must come to know him, and we do this by studying his word. Thy word I have hid in my heart so I may not sin against thee. Study to show yourself approved, not unto man, but unto God. We are studying God's word so that it may help us as we deny those urges. His word will help you deny those urges, not just to, we're studying not to just gain head knowledge. We're studying to gain some heart knowledge. So you can have a whole lot of head knowledge and be stupid. I'm going to say it just plain like that. You can have a whole lot of Bible up here, but you don't live it so it means nothing. Young people, you can know a whole lot of scriptures, you can sing a whole lot of songs, but if you're not living that out before anybody, they're not going to believe what you're saying. But if you want to go hard for God, you have to take some things, and you have to study some scripture, you have to feed your spiritual body and not your natural body, because your natural body will do some things that you know it should not do. You need to deny your mind of sinful things, things we hear and listen to. I know y'all, some of y'all last year remember I brought y'all, what's the name of those guys? I brought that Walk It Like You're Talking. And Walk It Like You're Talking, but it was Walk It Like You're Talking, pursuing excellence for the glory of God. Yeah. What's that group's name, young people? Ooh, they cut anything new yet? Nothing new. Okay, all right. So, Walk It Like You're Talking, pursuing excellence for the glory of God. So don't get me wrong here. I like to listen to some secular music. But the thing is, when it starts to influence me to not be who God has called me to be, and it starts taking me to a place where I don't want to go, when it starts degrading people, degrading women, and it starts talking about things that I know I should not do, you know what I do? I cut it off. Jeremiah, I tell you, we're riding in the car. We're grooving. Next thing I know, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, we got to cut that off. You know, so there's some things that it's got to be a balance in life. We like some old school music and we like some things, but some of those songs too need to be cut off out of our life. So actually, we need to be feeding our spiritual man and not our physical man. Things we see and touch, things we know not to be good for our bodies that are not his, that are not God, but of the enemy. We need to deny ourselves these things that are not good for our Christian soul. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to deny yourself of some things. You know, like I said, we're talking about some physical things now, because he says in here we're talking about some physical, some fleshly lusts. My dad had a saying. He didn't give me many sayings, but he had this one saying. He said, that second look will get you in trouble. I was like, man, what? But then I thought about it. You know, that first one, because everybody, you know, we all look good. I know I look good. I know you think you look good too, whether you look good or not, but you think you look good. But when you see someone, you see a beautiful woman, or you see a handsome man, it's okay for that first look, but it's when she walks by in that second look. See, that's when lust comes in. That's when your mind begins to go someplace it shouldn't go. That's when you begin having thoughts, not of God, but of the evil. Not of God, but of Satan. Satan has put those into your mind, so it's that second look that gets you in trouble. But when going hard for God, you have to deny yourself of some physical things and put some spiritual things into it. If you call yourself a Christian, you must deny yourself these earthly pleasures and prepare yourselves to go hard for God. Using some of these spiritual measures that Paul talked about in the scripture. Go hard for God. Using some of these spiritual measures that Paul is talking about in the scriptures. Go hard for God. Paul is giving us direction. The first thing you must do is deny those things that are not of God. Paul says that an athlete's reaching for a ribbon or a silver wreath or a gold cup or a medal. We are reaching for a higher goal, a heavenly call in our life. We are reaching for something that will never go away. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about being in the presence of God. That's what we're striving for. Paul says that an athlete is striving for that ribbon or that silver wreath. A silver wreath will die and disappear. Because back in his day, they would put a wreath on the champion's head, but that wreath will wither and die. But what we have will never wither or die. We are trusting and placing our trust in God and going hard for him. It will never die. We are reaching for a higher goal. We are preparing our hearts and minds and our souls to go hard for God in a world that only knows to go hard for an enemy that does not love him. We are preparing our hearts and minds to go hard in a world with an enemy that does not love you. That's Satan. In a world that does not love you, but loves you for what you can do or what you have. See, this world only loves you for what you can do or what you have. Think about it. Your friends, some of your friends ain't really your friends because they only want to be around you because of what you have and what you can do. You need to check some of those friends up just around with when you have some money. When you are the star athlete. But when times get hard, where are those same friends? Where are they hiding at? There was a whole song I could go to, but I'm not going to go there right now. But a smile on your face, every time you take your place, backstab. Those friends you don't need. Those friends you don't need. But when you're going hard for God, you have to deny yourself of some things because we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and wants us to the best for us. He wants us to train our minds and train our hearts in the godly things that He has for us. He wants to build our strength in Him and go hard for God. Now, I'm not saying we can't have some earthly possessions. I'm not saying that. Because I'm not saying that we can be successful. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we can't have the desires of our heart. But I'm not saying that. But once those things become your God, once you place your trust and faith in those things rather than placing your trust and faith in God Almighty, once you place your trust and faith in those things that are not God, once you make them your God and turn away from God, guess what? You can't go hard for God. He can't use you. Because you're not focused on Him. We are being called to a higher calling. We are being called to do all that we can do for God. From meeting the high calling of God, it has a place in your life. Jordan, you have a call in your life.
Yes.
This young man, whether you know it or not, you have a call in your life. Jeremiah, you have a call in your life. Charity, you have a call on your life. You have a call. Give me some other names. Shout out your name out real quick. Anybody got a name?
Emerald.
Who, Jasmine? Okay, Jasmine, you got a call in your life.
What's
your name? Manny. Who? Say it like you want to say it. Kennedy, you got a call on your life. What's your name? Gabrielle, you have a call on your life. What's your name, my man?
JJ,
what's your name? Macy, what's your name? What's your name again?
Manny,
okay, what's your name? Jordan, okay. What's your name? Who?
Billy.
Don't come down and say B? Okay, she said B. She didn't say Billy. Okay, what's your name? Okay, y'all know I come down here because you don't speak up. Yeah, I'm not shy, so what's your name? Ariel, okay, what's your name, son? Who? Adrian, okay, everybody, all you guys, you got a call in your life. Don't guess what?
Yeah.
You have to answer that call.
Yeah.
God is calling you to deny some things so you can build up that faith and trust in Him so then you can answer that call. But if you're not denying those things that are not of God, if you're not living your life according to His word, His will, and His way, you can't do what God's called you to do. Jordan, if you wasn't living your life, kind of alright. No, you wasn't living your life for God. You couldn't sing the words I saw you sing the way you sang. Because there was feeling in that. There was trust, there was hope in that. And I keep using you because you just blessed me. I'm just telling you. I got blessed today. But I forgot to tell you something. I forgot to tell you something that you got to deny. Sometimes you got to deny some friendships. You got to deny some friendships that you know that is not good for you. I'm not saying completely cut them off, but you got to deny yourself the temptation to fall into whatever it is that friend is doing that may tempt you into falling into that.
Yeah.
Talk to some of my young people right now. You might have to cut that friendship off if you know they're smoking dope.
Come on.
If you know they're drinking alcohol. If you know they're not saving themselves for their wife or husband when they get married. I had to put it that way because we got PG here and I can't go PG-13 with you. But you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah.
You might have to cut those friends off, but I'm not saying cut them off to the point where you're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you may have to back off that relationship a little bit. I believe even sinners need Christians as friends, and Christians need sinners as friends.
Yeah. We see you.
I believe sinners need Christians as friends as Christians need sinners as friends because, guess what? One without the other, how does the gospel of Jesus Christ go to someone that does not know him if you're not a friend with that person? Now, I'm not saying that you befriend them to the point that you hang around them, that you are doing the same things that they are doing. No. I'm saying you may have to cut that person off for a little while, and then you get your opportunity, tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them about a God that loves them. Tell them about someone who gave their life so they may have life. Life everlasting. But I'm thinking right now, I had a friend, my friend's name was Lamar. Me and Lamar were two peas in a pod. We did everything together. Whatever you guys can think about getting into, we already did.
Yeah.
Whatever you can come up with, you think of new now, it's already been done. We already did it. But me and Lamar, we were so bad. But it came a point when I got saved.
Yeah.
I had to back off that relationship. Now, did I cut my boy Lamar off? No, I didn't cut him off completely. But I backed off that relationship, and I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank God that I didn't cut him off completely, because if I cut him off completely, he wouldn't have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before he died.
Amen.
My best friend is dead. But if I didn't take that opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him at that moment, he would be dead forever without Christ. Dead forever separated from God. Dead forever without ever knowing the love of Jesus Christ. But again, like I said, you may have to cut some friends off and cut them off, but not to the point where you're not having a relationship with them. You may have to work it out when you're only around them sometime. When they start cussing and fussing, you just walk away. You just say, praise God, hallelujah, and you just walk away. Hold your hand up and go away. Or, guess what? Challenge them, Christian.
Yeah.
Challenge them and tell them, that's not the word of God. That's not what my Bible says. That's not how I live my life.
Amen.
Or maybe I'm going down the wrong lane, Sister Williams. Maybe some of them are living that life. Maybe some of them are fake Christians. Maybe some of them in here can't go hard for God because their tongue is not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can't go hard for God because your heart is not clean. Maybe you can't go hard for God because you got all that booty-bop stuff. I don't even understand sometimes they sing some of these raps. Until they get to the bad word, then they say it clear. Maybe you got all that in your mind, but and you can't go hard for God there, but I'm praying and I'm hoping that you have the love of Christ in your heart. And that love can help you go hard for God in times and situations where you need to deny yourself from that situation. You need to deny yourself of whatever it is not of God and walk away. But Paul, Brother Paul here, he's amazing to me. Because Brother Paul here, he says, not only should you deny yourself of anything that will stop you from going hard from God. He says, you have to put some work in when going hard for God.
Yeah.
I said, man, okay, Paul, you're saying, not only do we have to deny ourselves, we got to put some work in. We got to train ourselves. Paul says, starting in verse 26, I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. That sounds like me. I fight to win. Arguments, everything. I fight to win. I am not going to lose. I fight to win. When I play dominoes, I fight to win. When I play anything I play, I fight to win. Anything I do, I fight to win. When I'm serving God, I'm fighting to win. But Paul here says, run straight to the goal with purpose in every step I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should and not what it wants to. Training my body to do what it should and not what it wants to. Everything we do in life should be done with a purpose. Every step you take should be done with a purpose. You hear me? Everything you do in life should be done with a purpose. Every step you take should be done with a purpose. And that purpose should be getting you closer to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be getting you closer to God. That should be getting you closer to the goal Paul was talking about. We should be doing everything with the mentality to fight to win. All that we do should be done with one sole purpose of sharing the gospel and introducing others to Jesus Christ. That is our purpose here. We are called to share. Preachers aren't the only ones supposed to share the gospel.
Amen. All right. Amen.
You guys are preachers in your own way. You are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone you come in contact with. It's not just our job. It's not just pastor's job.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are all called to go out and tell a dying world about a living Savior.
Yes, yes.
And how they can be saved.
Yes.
But I love that Paul says here, he says, I'm not just shadow boxing.
Come on.
I know I don't look like it no more, but I used to think I was a boxer myself. I used to be able to hold my hands a little bit. I used to think I could take this boxer called Sugar Ray Leonard, because we're about the same height, same weight, and everything. I see you looking at me like, This wasn't there then. But I thought I could take Sugar Ray Leonard, but I say I thought I could because I ran into somebody bigger, better, and stronger than me. And let me just tell you, I got knocked out. That was the end of my boxing career. I said, no more, I'm done. I play football. I'm not boxing anymore. But Paul used shadow boxing. But the truth is, I come from a long line of family that fights. My cousin was the Golden Glove champion in Philadelphia. My other cousin right now is coming up the heavyweight ranks in these boxing. So I know how to hold my hands. But I can't take a punch. So I realized that. So, Paul uses shadow boxing. He said, but he uses shadow boxing. Shadow boxing is an exercise used in training for combat sports. And as the name infers, shadow boxing is used for boxing. With shadow boxing, you are going against your greatest opponent you ever meet in your life. That's kind of deep right there. Shadow boxing, you want to go against the greatest opponent you ever meet in your life. That opponent is you. The greatest opponent you'll go against ever in life is not Satan. We give him too much power and authority. The greatest opponent you have in life is yourself. See, when you shadow boxing, let me get my stance, make sure I got it right here. You see? So you shadow boxing, my shadow's there, right? So when I throw this left, I know to move over this side and duck under and come around with my right. See, I know how to do that, but because I know me. The only person that knows me better than myself is God.
Yeah.
So the only person that can stop you from going hard for God is yourself.
All right.
Because you are your greatest opponent, your greatest enemy, the greatest stopper is you. Paul says here, it's like shadow boxing. The only person who knows yourself better than you is God. The greatest opponent you will ever fight is yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, Satan is an enemy. He's a powerful enemy, but we give him too much power and authority. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ, have power and authority over him.
Yeah.
I can speak it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I got to put that on there.
Come on.
Because there's power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And we got to use that name. We got to use that power and authority when we come up against something or someone that's too strong, too powerful for us. Somebody that's getting ready to knock you out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have the power and authority to slip this punch, come back with a counter, and knock you out. We have that power and authority to knock Satan out when he tries to attack us. Use that name. That is the Ali Shuffle. Y'all know about that, but Muhammad Ali was one of the greatest boxers there was. Before there was a Tyson, there was Muhammad Ali, and he was one of the greatest boxers there ever was. Y'all looking at me like, ooh? But guess what? There's no greater boxers like that anymore right now. What's his name? Middleweight boxer? Anybody? See?
Mayweather.
See, y'all have to think about it, right? We think about Muhammad Ali, we think about Sugar Ray Leonard, we think about Tommy Frank, we think about all these things just pop up. But there's no fighters like the old guys back in the day. I'm not saying that they were the best fighters, but I'm saying that they were good fighters. And you don't have to be the best fighter, but you have to be a good fighter when you're coming up against whatever it is that's stopping you from going hard for God. Shadow boxing. This right here, this messed me up when the Holy Spirit shared this with me. Shadow boxing is only a shadow. When can you see a shadow? When the sun is up, when there's some light, right? The only time you can't see a shadow when it's what? Completely dark, right?
Yeah.
So when there's some light, there's only a little bit of a shadow left, right? But when there's complete darkness, there is no light, right? So there can be no shadow, right? So let me see how the Holy Spirit help me out. When there's complete darkness, there is no Jesus Christ in your life. But when Jesus Christ comes into your life, there is light. So there's only a shadow of who you used to be.
Yeah.
There's only that shadow. That old man is always going to be there. Temptation is always going to be there. But it's only a shadow. We have to let the light of Jesus Christ outshine that darkness in your life. In other words, you won't have to fight for your life.
Lord have mercy.
You're going to have to fight for your life. You're going to have to make sure that darkness doesn't overcome you.
Yeah.
But live in the light.
You're right.
You got to live in the light. They're looking at me again like, okay, you ain't getting it for me. That one didn't do it for me, Brad. You got to come better than that. Okay, all right. So maybe y'all listen from Tony Evans. Tony Evans says it like this. The goal is not to be popular, but the goal is to be biblical.
Yeah.
See, a lot of you guys are trying to be popular.
Wow.
But the goal is not to be popular. The goal is to be biblical. A lot of us dopes, we're trying to be popular. We're trying to make friends. But that is not the goal. The goal is to be biblical. To be biblical, we have to live that life before others so they can be drawn to Christ. To be biblical, we have to live the Word of God so others can see that light that's in you. They only see a shadow of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, a lot of kids say, man, Brad, you don't know how hard it is, man. You know, man, you ain't never lived this life. What?
Right.
I lived two of those lives in your one.
Right, amen.
But the thing is, you got to realize that you have to live your life biblically and not for popularity. When denying yourself in preparation to go hard for God, you can't worry about acceptance by society, Christian. You can't worry about acceptance by society.
Come on.
You know that's something we have. We want acceptance, but you have to fight for the acceptance. You have to fight for the acceptance of your social presence in a world without Christian principles with Christian principles. You got to fight for your rights in a world and make a social presence with Christian principles in a world that doesn't have Christian principles.
My Lord, you won't
be accepted by your friends when you start talking about Jesus Christ.
All right.
You won't be accepted by others when you start living that life before them that God's calling you out to do for Him. You won't be accepted in a world that does not know God because they don't know God. Guess what? Because you haven't told them yet.
I got to come over here for this one. When the last time you told your friends that you was a Christian?
Jesus.
Yesterday? Okay. Now, did you offer that person salvation from Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? See, we got to do that.
Not that you didn't do wrong. You did right by telling them that you were a Christian. You did right by living before them that you're a Christian. But guess what? You got to take a step further. You got to offer them salvation. You got to witness to them. You got to tell them that Scripture tells us if you just confess, believe, you shall be saved. It's just that simple. We make it so hard. We think you've got to live by all these rules and regulations, but it's confess, believe, and you should be saved. Now, there's some things you should do afterwards.
Yeah.
But that's part of going hard for God. You got to live out those things then because you got to go hard for God. But back to this acceptance. The world will not accept you, but you have not to worry about the world. You got to worry about how God sees you.
Yeah.
You got to worry about how much He wants you to go hard for Him. In other words, you're going to have to stand on what you believe in and stand on your faith and run straight to the goal with purpose.
Yeah.
What do you believe in? Where is your faith? Can you stand on what you believe in? Do you have enough God's word inside of you? Do you know enough of God's word? Do you know God enough to be able to stand on what you believe in? Have faith that He's going to come through. We sing a lot of songs about faith. Jesus, like the doctor said, told us not to be afraid. You ought not be afraid to stand on God's word. You are not to be afraid to stand boldly before others to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are not to be afraid and share the gospel with those that are lost. You are not to be afraid. Let me go on. Let's see. And in a world that does not love you or care about you, and we got to live Christian principles in this world that doesn't have Christian principles. You have to give an offering to God by your actions.
Yeah.
In other words, you are going to have to stand on what you believe in and go hard for God.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have to stand boldly and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're going to have to go out there and fight and let it be known that you're not playing around.
Right.
You got an enemy that's not playing around.
Right.
You know, we got an enemy that hates us.
It's true.
An enemy that will trick us. An enemy that will lie to us. An enemy that will show us things that are not of God and say, hey, you can have this if you want to be like God. Because isn't that how he did it to Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
He said, you will be like God. He didn't say you're going to be God. See, if I want anything, I want to be God. I don't want to be like God. I want to be God. But see, that's when that pride comes in.
All right.
You got to humble yourself and place yourself under authority of Jesus Christ. When you're going hard for God, you got to fight to win. You got to let it be known that you're not playing around. You got to train your mind, your body, and your soul to do what you should do and what you should not.
Yeah.
Amen.
You have to take control of yourself. You have to take authority over your own mind, your own body, and train it to do what it should do and not what it wants to do.
Because
we live in a world, we live in a world where if it feels good, we do it.
Yeah.
If it feels good, we do it. So, and we got to stop living in that world where it feels good, so we do it. We got to do it to this one right here. If it feels right to God, then I'll do it. You got to take control over this. If it feels right and I'm doing it for God, if God was here right now and I was in this presence, would I do this? What would Jesus do? No, if you was in the presence of God right now, would you do whatever it is you're doing? You got to deny yourself. You got to take control. Paul's talking about training your body, training your mind, training your soul to want to do the things that God has called you to do. In other words, you're going to have to fight.
Yes.
Romans 7:5 puts it this way. When your old nature was still active, sinful desires were at work within you, making you want to do whatever God said not to, and producing sinful deeds, the rotting fruit of death. In other words, you have to fight your old nature to sin, and you have to train yourself to do what you should do and not what you want to do. You got to fight to tell the truth all the time, young people. That's hard. You got to fight not to curse or badmouth anybody. You got to fight to study God's word. Because a lot of times, guess what? I know you guys will be on the cell phones, y'all be on the Snapchat and YouTube and everything else, y'all. The phones now is our God.
Lord have mercy.
Whatever's on this phone has my attention, but the word of God is right here. But no, I wanna watch this right now.
This
is more important than you, God, but we gotta fight this right here. We gotta fight this technology that's taking over our minds. And we have to study God's word. We have to hide his word in our hearts. We have to implant God's word. We have to feed our spiritual man and not just our natural man. You're feeding your natural man when you're on the phone with your girls and your boys, you know.
Yeah.
When you're on YouTube, my son, he watch all this YouTube stuff, and he's cut back. I got to give it to him. He's looking at your dad. And he's cut back. He's cut back because we asked him to. But I know there's times when he should be studying.
Amen.
I'm not just telling him to tell him out.
Amen, you're not.
But I know there's times when he should be studying.
Amen.
But he has my phone right now. So and he flips out his phone, he puts in his ear pod, and he's gone. We won't see him for hours. But how many times can I say that? And I'm not going to just use you on this one, Jeremiah. How many times can I say to anybody in here rather than spend time, like I'm talking about myself, watching TV? Spend time gossiping or just talking with a friend.
Yeah.
Rather than studying God's word.
Jesus.
Elevating your mind, elevating your soul, elevating your heart. How often do you do that rather than get on that phone? But let me go ahead and try to finish up here. I thought I had about 6 more points to go, but y'all been saying amen, so I'll go ahead and try to wrap this up a little bit. Not only do we have to deny ourselves anything that will stop us from going hard from God, not only do we have to put some work in when going hard for God, but we must get the job done. We're going hard for God. We got to get the job done. Paul says in the later part of verse 27, otherwise I fear after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and to stand aside. But going hard for God, we have to consider those that we share the gospel with and those that are watching us live the gospel out in our lives. We got to worry about that person we just, the new Christian last week that joined the church and came down and accepted Jesus Christ and was all excited because they saw how you was living, they wanted what you had. Guess what? You now are that person's mentor.
Yeah, it's true.
You now, they're your disciples.
Come on.
Come on.
They now are under your tutelage. They now have to look for you for guidance. They now are depending on you to show them the way. The truth and the life. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Even adults right now, when we have that new person join the church, sometimes they fall off because we don't give them that support they need. We don't call them up and check on them. They joined last week. Okay, they'll come back next week. They might not come back.
Well,
give them a call. Follow up on them.
Yeah.
Young people, when you see a young person come up here, don't let, just let the adults do it.
Amen.
You come up here and stand with them and talk to them.
Yeah.
You know that there's somebody their age walking the same thing that they're walking.
Amen.
And you can walk with them. But okay. We must get the job done. I fear after listening to others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit in order to stand aside. How many athletes do we have over here? How many athletes? Basketball, football, soccer, track. How does it feel when a coach says, no, you sit on the bench, I'm going to let everybody else play?
Oh.
How does it feel for God to say, okay, I got all these people going hard, giving me 100%, doing everything I call them to do, but you're not doing what I want you to do, so sit down on the bench. You sit this out. Yeah, you led the team in scorn. Yeah, you led the team in glory before, but guess what? You're not doing what you were called to do right now. You're not living up. You're not denying yourself of the things that you need to deny yourself. You're not training yourself to be furthered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not training yourself by studying God's word. You're not training yourself by applying God's word to your life. You're not training yourself. So guess what? Since you ain't going to train, I want you to sit on the bench and stay there for a little while.
Yeah.
See, that's what Paul's talking about. He don't want to be that one that God says, okay, I give you all this right now to take care of Paul, but guess what? Now you got to sit down because you're not doing what I called you.
Yeah.
I'm just challenging folks with what I'm being challenged with. That's all. I'm just talking to myself.
Yeah.
I'm just talking to myself. But
when
going hard for God, Paul, he was worried he wasn't going to completely go hard for God, and he and it's showing that he was sold out for the Lord. He was worried about that. He was worried that he would not be the one to lead others to Christ. And if they were led to Christ, he did not display a passion for his God and the purpose his God had told him to complete what he had begun. Paul was worried about that. Okay, I'm a Christian, but I got an attitude privilege.
All right.
I got an attitude. Who wants to be that? Who wants to be that Christian that always got that sour look on their face? Always got problems, never got a praise. Who want to be that Christian? Paul is saying, look, I want to be that one that shows passion for what I'm doing, showing purpose for what I'm doing, showing people that I am living out before them what God has called me to do. I want them to be just as excited as I am about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, scripture, if we don't praise God, the rocks are going to cry out.
Yeah.
The gospel will be presented whether you do it or not, but wouldn't it be wonderful to be included in that?
In that
plan God has called you, that purpose God has called you to do, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to be concerned in whether we are doing what God has called us to do, whether or not we are going hard for God so others can see the Christian lifestyle, whether or not we are going hard for God and they can see the benefit and the blessings that come along with being obedient to God's word, God's will, and his way.
Yeah.
We need to get the job done so others can see God's glory in all that we do.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe y'all can relate to this. Before Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, he was Saul.
Right.
Saul, who became Paul, was set on the destruction of Christianity and Christians.
All right.
He became a deliverer of the gospel to all as Paul. Saul, who was Paul, condemned Christians to death, but counseled those that were lost with the word of God to life, to live. Saul, who became Paul. Okay, y'all not getting this. Y'all not feeling this. Saul, who was Paul, lived and studied the first books of the Bible and believed he was doing what God had called him to do. But as Paul, he shared with us and wrote a major part of the New Testament. I just want you to see we will go hard for what we believe in. Paul, who was Saul, believed that he was doing the work of God. He was condemning, he was killing Christians, he was destroying families, he was destroying the word of God. He was doing all this.
Yes, yes.
Because he believed in it. But then that same God, new name, new creature, all things have passed away, all things have become new. Paul now is a major writer of the New Testament. He is spreading the gospel. His letters to all these books that we read, Paul is writing letters not only to the Corinthians, he's writing to us today. But okay, all right. Paul wasn't good enough for you. Paul wasn't good enough for you, okay. But there's one. There's one I got to talk about, and his name is Jesus. You see, Jesus, who was the son of royalty and holiness, took off that royalty, took off that holiness, and his father asked him to come down as a man.
Come on now.
Jesus, who was born of a virgin and walked this earth growing up a man, but a man that would not sin, was going hard. Jesus, the same Jesus that called his disciples to come on, walk, pick up your cross and follow me, now was going hard for God. Jesus, the son of man that took on our sin to bring forgiveness and redemption to man, was going hard for God. See, y'all wasn't feeling Paul, but maybe you can feel Jesus. Jesus, who in our place died and was buried. Jesus, who was spat on, Jesus, who was whipped, Jesus, who was ridiculed in our place for our sin, Jesus, who went to the cross, he didn't just go to the cross, he carried his own cross. Jesus was going hard for God. Jesus, I'm not talking about Paul no more, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, God's only son. Jesus, the one that brought us life. I'm talking about Jesus, the one that was hung on the cross.
The
one that was nailed to the cross. See, he was going hard for God. But see, it's wonderful. It's wonderful here. Jesus, who died for all of us. Jesus, who was buried. But this is the good part now. But,
come on now.
Jesus, who was going hard for God, did not stay dead.
He
rose with all power. See, that's what happens when you go hard for God. God will give you the power to overcome anything that comes your way. God will give you the power in the name of Jesus. Right now, whatever it is that you're up against, I tell it to get off you right now. In the name of Jesus. Because Jesus, the Son of God, died for all of us. But see, he died, he got up. He got up with all power in his hand. That power and authority. But see, the wonderful thing about that is that he showed us that we can overcome whatever it is, even death. And Paul says here that we are striving to give that prize that will never disappear. That prize that will never disappear is to be in the presence of God.
What a
few seconds, one of five, only can match. What it'll be like. Stand in the presence of God. And get that ultimate prize. To hear him say, well done.
Well done, faithful
servant.
Thank you. What a prize. Thank
you. Young people, I'm going to go ahead and sit down. But I want you to know one thing. Is that when you go hard for God, you will be rewarded not by earthly things. Not by man. But you're rewarded and lifted up by God. See, that's more important to me than anything else I do in life. I may have done a lot of bad things. I've done some good things. But all that matters is to me that I'm going hard for God, that I'm proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would die if I was not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would fail as a Christian if I was not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I was a preacher and didn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Woe unto me.
Yeah.
But just like I've been called to preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Woe unto you. And you,
yeah, you're right.
They're not living out before others.
Jesus.
That's not going hard and sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
That's not telling a dying world about a living Savior that loves them. Woe unto you.
Lord have mercy.
Go hard for God. Don't sit down and let no rocks cry out for you.
Yeah.
Go hard for God. God bless you.